At this time, I would like to hand the call over to Dr. Flint McLaughlin, who will be presenting today's research on how to win website awards. Dr. McLaughlin?
Good, all right. I want to welcome everyone, and those of you that are new, marketingexperiments.com. I think we have several of our team members online right now that are assisting us. Brian Ault is the one who incidentally oversaw the research project we're going to be discussing, where we queried 600 award sites and came up with a list of 50 that we tested. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. But Brian works a great deal on our research related to email and things of that nature. Jeremy Bookins is online. Is Cliff online also?
Yes.
Okay. Cliff and Jeremy, Jeremy's an expert in Google and Google PageRank. Cliff is, and he also works in our design team, and believe it or not, they go together because you should have a designer on your team who's an expert in Google PageRank. Cliff oversees our own websites and is involved in design, and that may be important to get into this conversation. Some of you may have questions. And he's involved in development design, and he also sees the programming on our site. And then Jeff Sellers, who's involved with our relationships with our research partners and our affiliate programs and is an expert in that area, is working and is online also. Is Aaron Rosenthal online? Okay. All right, so having just mentioned these people, I also think, Dave Gorski, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Dave Gorski is a research partner working on some projects with us right now. Most of the data that we're able to help you with comes from special relationships with other companies that we conduct research with. We're going to be doing a report on subscription revenue and releasing a journal, a briefing on that. We've just finished a deep, actually it's not been involved for the last 6 months, 5 to 6 months, the New York Times, a project related to selling online subscriptions for website and website service. And we have groups like that that we work with, and Dave's key groups. He represents a company. Dave, what's your URL?
Exterior
Actions.
Exterior-actions.com.
Yes, and
regular domain as well.
Speaking of which, we're doing some testing right now with Dave, but we may be releasing early a report that we're doing on the impact of how you handle shipping charges. I reviewed all the data today, and it seems so important in the Christmas season that we're thinking about releasing that. Shoot us an email if you think that's timely. Otherwise, we'll keep it on the current schedule and release it in about 6 weeks. But let me begin right now by moving right into the topic, which is website awards, how to improve conversion ratio with a methodical campaign to win, and position strategic awards. I am going to be reading and then commenting from a set of notes based on our research. These very same notes will be released to you the next 2 business days, along with the recording of this conference. So you'll be able to see precisely what it is that I'm working with in terms of information. In addition to that, a second report will go out with a full literature review. That's a very comprehensive program where we actually go through the internet, all of the good links that we can find and information resources, evaluate them and critique them, and then provide commentary so that beyond what we're saying to you, you'll be able to look at the same resources that we've used in getting the preliminary information that we had to start with in order to design a good test. So with that in mind, I'd like to get started by asking you to consider a lateral marketing strategy. What if you could launch a 2-part campaign that focused on 1, winning website awards, and 2, leveraging awards to your conversion ratio? Jean Baudrillard is quoted as saying, governing today means giving acceptable signs of credibility, and he might as well have been talking about web marketing. In our hype-laden world, credibility is key. Recent experiment, MEC researchers analyzed 600 award websites and tested 50 to determine how to use awards to marketing. We analyzed a list of 600, and this is kind of the background facts for you now. We prepared website A, which is an online retailer, and submitted it to 50 of these award sites. Then we prepared website B, which is an online publisher, and submitted it to 51 of these award sites. And I'd like to review the data, the findings from that initial experiment, and then talk about what the implications are. To do that, you should be looking now at a table that is posted in the research log that many of you had as you logged in. You can note that we spent, and this is important, the labor time estimate, which is pretty precise, was 7.75 hours on campaign A and 8 hours on campaign B. We combined the two campaigns, submitting at the same time the labor overall. Out of the 50 submissions in campaign A, the success ratio was 12%. Response time, by the way, was 6. The success ratio on website B was 7.8%. Now, neither one of these sites were what I would consider remarkable. They were good, solid sites, but it would have skewed our results if they were absolutely remarkable sites. And so with that in mind, let's kind of understand the most important piece of information about this.
Flint, can I interrupt you real quick?
Yes.
Your voice is going in and out on that headset.
Okay.
Just want to make sure the recording
is good. I'm glad you're letting me know that. Let me attempt to remedy that some.
Sorry about that.
Yes. Is that any better for you? Can you hear me clearly?
Sounds good. Seems better for me, yeah.
Okay. So, what did we really get from winning these awards? Our research indicates that traffic from the award sites alone is minimal. But if one leverages the visibility of an award with a series of strategic press releases, the results can be altogether different. And in a future issue, we'll discuss our experiments with this method and with how to design and utilize press releases within your site for two purposes. But there are really two primary benefits from winning website awards, and traffic is the secondary, whether they're not. The first is increased credibility. And this is the key point, third-party credibility indicators have a vital impact on your conversion ratio. They can underscore your value proposition, and they can help ease a prospect through a key decision. Most sites are long on claims, short on evidence, but it is a mistake to write unsubstantiated claims about your product. In our feature article on transparent marketing, we outline several principles of communication, and there are four that are relevant to this discussion. Number one, tell only verifiable truth. I might add to that, it doesn't matter if what you say on your site is true. It matters, don't get me wrong, you need to hear this whole statement or else I can be taken out of context. It matters that it is verifiably true. And I mean that from the standpoint of your initial or within the framework of your initial relationship with a new prospect or visitor to your site. Before you've established trust, any claim you make is suspect. And so you have to make a statement. For instance, your value proposition needs to be a statement that is clearly apparent. Do never say, we are the fastest, we have the most, we're the web's number one. Who believes you? So you have to do number two, step number two, purge all your vague modifiers. A vague modifier is saying we're fast, we're good, we have a large selection. Don't tell me you have a large selection. Tell me you have 2,613 products as of 4:10 p.m. today. Let someone else, if you have to make a statement, because some products are difficult to describe that way, if you have to make a statement that you can't substantiate, then don't make it through your own lips. Have a third party make it. And this is where website awards start to help us now. Let someone else do your bragging. And step number four, substitute general descriptions with specific facts. See, the right website awards can increase your credibility. And if you place these awards at strategic decision points on your website, you can maximize their effectiveness. Someone tell me an example of a strategic decision point on your website. Give me some help here. Dave Gorski.
Add to cart.
Your cart, yes.
Add to cart would be a strategic decision point.
Absolutely. The moment you ask for money, you know, somewhere between 30% and 2%, 75% of your carts are being abandoned. Our last issue talked about, our last briefing that we sent out talked about how to reduce that number. But it's a dramatic place. And in each place on your site where the customer is being asked to increase their trust or take the next step, you need to strengthen that position, your leverage there, with a third-party credibility indicator. Now, just to make sure my point is clear, can someone give me some examples of third-party credibility indicators besides awards? What's another example?
Ratings.
In fact, I'm going to come to that in just a moment. That's one of the most important. What's another one?
Customer review.
Customer review is huge. Now, when we began to work with Dave, and we can't work with most research partners. Some of our groups are very large. Some are very small. We've worked with research partners selling 6,000 subscriptions a day. And then we worked with smaller sites and retailers doing $70 million a year. And we started with a research partner, I don't know, a few months ago, he was doing $20,000 a month. He's doing $70,000 a month. Now, in fact, I think Dave, to his credit, is going to have a record month this month. But I want to point out that his business is not huge, but bringing Dave into this, one of the things that I was impressed about Dave, one of the reasons that we were feeling comfortable about doing research with him, is he has a tremendous amount of feedback from satisfied customers. It's amazing how often we fail to truly maximize that. Now, again, I don't want to get off topic. If I can just point something else out for you. Make sure when you're matching a testimonial to a leverage point that you match a testimonial that's saying something like what you want the customer to feel at that moment. Don't just find a good testimonial and put it by your order form. Find a testimonial about how great the customer service is, how fast you got your refund processed, and put that next to the part you're asking. If they're in the order form, it's probably not the fact that you need to sell them again on the product's good. What you need to do is minimize now. You need to remove all the obstacles that keep them from continuing with their purchase decision. So match the nature of the testimonial to the nature of the leverage point on your site. Somebody give me a couple more and we'll move on.
How about the BBB Online, Better Business Bureau Online?
Yes.
Logos and the VeriSign, Safe Site
right.
Logo type thing.
I think VeriSign is good, and I think BB is good. It's quite easy to get to BB online. You have to be a member of the local Better Business Bureau, and then you can apply for it. And I honestly do not have a great deal of confidence in the Better Business Bureau, but I do know that the brand is very strong, and it does help you. It certainly does. And things like that help you. So testimonials, third-party institutional references like the Better Business Bureau, and then awards, and then specific factual statements can be helpful. Like, you know, something about we ship three warehouses, you know, a fact about where your warehouses are located or how many, a fact that makes me feel I might get my order on time, or, you know, something that's factual can sometimes in itself be a credibility indicator. It's not third party, but it is a credibility indicator, and it can be good if it's placed near one of these leverage points. I want to move on, and I want to say to you that a 5-star rating from Yahoo or BizRate is actually an award, and it's well-earned, by the way. It's harder to get that award than it is to keep it. If those of you who have Yahoo stores, you know what I'm thinking. It's not always fair the way customers rate you, and there's not always a real fair way to redress somebody who gives you a bad rating. So when you get a 5-star rating, that's to be commended. It's hard to get that. And when you have it, it not only makes a big difference in your traffic, but it can also increase your credibility, which in turn can increase your sales. Your conversion ratio is often closely connected to your credibility. This is really true for certain types of products, like online jewelry, products that have larger purchases, products that are in industries that are not nearly as trusted. There's a lot of different reasons why, for some sites, credibility is even more important. It's important for everyone. You should have the 5-star graphic placed close to this location on your website where you're asking to trust me. just be trusting you. Now, all of this advice is to no avail if you cannot win awards. And you can win 5-star ratings through superb customer service. So how do you win website? And I think that that's what I would like to narrow down and focus on right now with 12 keys. And as I begin to discuss these, I'm going to let you ask us questions. I'm going to make this more participatory. We're going to visit some links, talk about these things. Cliff,
yes.
You and Jeremy, feel free to jump in when we talk about some of these design issues. And if you have questions right now, you've got very, very, well, at our labs, we try to find the finest people in the country, really anywhere in the world to work with us. You've got some really, if I can brag on these guys, you've got a brain trust online in terms of them. I'm not talking about me. You can ask some questions too. So as we get to this, let's do that. I may referee a little bit and slow you down or keep us on target, but let's try to cover this. Here's the first step. Before submitting, optimize your site design. And you may want to begin by seeing the reports that we've created on website design. We have two major reports. All in all, it's probably totals 50 pages of data, and I think there's a 16-step-by-step diagnostic that you should really spend some time with. And so I won't spend a long time in this step, but those reports and links to those reports are in your notes. And Brian, when I call out a report, if you'll just call out the number,
sure.
You know, then they'll be able to do that. In this case, it's number 4 and 5 on your links if you want to visit those later and mark that on the numbered links in your search log entry. Step number 2, make sure your website has a definitive purpose that is communicated clearly to your visitors. Step number 3. By the way, if some of this sounds a bit obvious, may I point out that number 1, 85% of all websites you look at don't have number 2 correct. There's conflicting purpose. There isn't an IPath designed on purpose wherein you focus their attention on one element first, another element second, or another element third. In doing that, we're talking about using size, color, motion, position, and shape to control the attention of people who come to your website. And if you do not have your objectives prioritized, you have a problem. We typically will print a copy of a home page. We'll say, what is the first objective? What is the second objective? And we'll weight that. And then we'll redesign the page saying, if the first objective is to get a click on a product, then and the second objective is to get an email address, then what is our split? Is it 60-40, 70-30, 50-50? 70-30, then let's get 70% of our attention on the products we want to click on. And let's immediately move the additional 30% to the email capture. So make sure, and I want to say that some of these steps may seem simple, but these are also the steps that we found, and having submitted to basically 101 times the website awards for this experiment, we learned the things they sent back to us, and so and also their recommendations from their sites. And these are some of the keys. Number 3, use graphics effectively. They pay a lot of attention to this, by the way. Avoid stock clip art and focus on original graphics that enhance the presentation of your site. And this may be here later, but be very careful about your load time, both on the page and on the graphics. And I assume that may not be spelled out in a step. Cliff, what would you say is an acceptable wait for graphics and an acceptable load time for the page?
Load time probably if you're on dial-up, probably about 8-9 seconds. Graphics.
Okay.
Don't you really want to have any major graphic unless maybe a product is dependent on how much the product's worth. Probably you're looking at for banner stuff and everything, you want our banners to go over 12K. If at all possible. Product images are rule of thumb for like inside of Yahoo, and that is nothing over 40K. But that's, you know, on a more expensive item.
So 12K on a banner, 40K on a product, you're saying. And do you recommend one particular? I understand the. Tell them, give them give them a 1 minute or a 2 minute summary of the image format that's best and why.
Okay. Well,
JPEG
is
primary, a GIF.
Yeah, there's two primary formats, image formats you use, even though there's a third that's had some acceptance but not very widespread, and that's your GIF or your JPEGs. GIF is more for things like line art, things of text and so on that have hard edges, solid colors. JPEG, which stands for Joint Photographers Experts Group, is for doing photographs, things that have gradient and tonal, subtle tonal changes. You usually get a much better compression ratio out of that. A problem with JPEG is that every time you touch it, no matter if you save it at 100%, it loses image quality. And that's less than a minute.
Okay, well done. All right, number four, make sure your site, they pay a lot of attention to this, and it's obvious, but it's amazing how bad we are at this. And by the way, we're bad at this. We know how to do this, but we don't think we've done it well on our site based on our test. We think the site's pretty easy to navigate, but not when you're a member. We find our members are getting confused with our free subscribers, with our own site. We're getting ready to change it yet again after testing. So it's not an easy thing, but make sure your site is easy to navigate for your visitors. Number five, check for broken links. The following websites are helpful.
And those are numbers 6, 7, and 8 on the notes.
Yes. Number 6, 7, and 8 on your notes can do automatic checks throughout your site for broken links, and they're well worth it. Number 6, validate your HTML code using one or more of these tools. Go ahead, Brian.
Those are 9 through 11 on the notes.
Yes. This matters, and I'll tell you why, because very likely they'll use a tool like this to check your own HTML code themselves. And in our experiments, we paid less attention to that. And one of the first things we noticed when we were getting our initial returns and we made some changes was they were finding small flaws in the HTML of these sites that we used for the test and reporting those back. Cliff, or if you don't have anything to say, it's all right, but do you or Jeremy have anything to add about these validators, because there are strengths and weaknesses to them?
My past experience, like with HTML Doctor and with the service they offer, where you can actually take snapshots in different browsers and different operating systems, while I like it and it's maybe a decent starting point, is you still can't check functionality of the page. You can see how parts of the page display, but you can't check see if certain things actually work or not. There are some good places. You know, like there's Macromedia's Dreamweaver forums are great places to go. There's lots of people running different operating systems and browsers.
That's important. Take a moment. This is really worthwhile. We found one of the best ways to find out what something, to deal with a problem, is to get a bunch of other people from forums to look at your site in other browsers. Apart from what we're going to talk about next, where you can take browser snapshots, these forms are exceptionally helpful. Number 7, check for browser compatibility using one of these tools. Again, there are three listed. What numbers are they, Brian?
12 through 14.
12 through 14. Now, if you wonder which browser is most important, which resolution is most important, you'll see an experiment that we did on browser compatibility, which, by the way, we ran it on several major websites, and they failed. And worse, our own site failed, and we had just tested it a month earlier, and it had passed. But whatever the change was, it caused us to have problems in Windows 2000. So, number 8, include a page on your site to display awards. By the way, they pay attention to this, that you've won. If you don't have the page, many of them will not give you the award. However, don't forget you can display the awards in more than one location, and remember that many people do not enter your site through the home page. I go back to the fact that just because you use that award on a given page doesn't mean you can't copy it and use it in other locations. And in fact, if you work out of the pay-per-click engines or the comparison search engines, much of your traffic is not coming into the home page. It's likely coming to a landing page with your product on it. And if that is the case, the question has to be asked, are your landing pages as optimized as your home page? Are your product pages as good as your home page? If all your credibility indicators are on your home page, you're in trouble. If your awards appear only there, you're in trouble. If you've got a 5-star biz rating, it needs to be on every product page or every page that someone might come to from one of the search engines. Number 9, submitting multiple websites for the same award is usually not a good idea. It will only serve to disqualify all of the sites' mini awards. Submit from different email addresses and under different names if you're going to submit multiple sites. Number 10, take the time to read all award guidelines. Many award givers hide a certain password in their guidelines that you must include in your application to prove that you have read them. And so keep that in mind. By number 11, by conforming to the criteria of various awards programs, your site will actually improve. This is an observation that Brian added here. Some programs require a privacy statement, compliance with COPPA, correct use of meta tags, etc. Just going through the process of winning an award can actually improve your design. By the way, obviously you have a lot of awards out there that are small and petty and perhaps not all that good. But there are many that are very serious now. The industry's matured quite a bit, and it's worthwhile paying attention to their guidelines and recognizing that they've actually become a respectable way to rate a website. In the beginning, everybody was jumping on the bandwagon rating awards. Now, I want to take you to a site that I think is exceptionally helpful. And I might even go a step further and show you a little bit more about how some of this can work in a given site. But we're going to go to a link together, and it's website awards, I think, .net. I may go to the main home page, or howtowin.htm. Let's try the home page first. You see the link. Go ahead, Brian.
Website-awards.net. Is that the one you're looking for?
Yeah.
If you're going directly to the worksheet, that's number 20, Flint.
Okay. Number 20 on the worksheet, and I'm going there myself as we're speaking. While we're going there, our literature review, how many sites do you think we reviewed, Brian?
Oh, there must have been 40 or so.
In reviewing that many sites, this is one of the best that we've found. And so if you'll take a look here, there's some key links. And one of those I want to show you. Is everyone on this page, on the main page? Which are they on the .NET or are they on the How to Win site? Which link are they on?
Number 20. The website awards worksheet.
Okay. Well, then they've gone straight to the worksheet. Let me go to the same thing, and the worksheet is probably where I would start if I were in your situation. What it does is it gives you a downloadable document that's regularly updated. This one was updated November 19th, and that has a list of awards, key notes about those awards, and allows you to track your submission as you go through it. What you're looking at on this one page is just a sample. The actual downloadable document is quite a bit longer. It's a great tool to manage your submissions with. And if you're going to use this as a marketing tactic, then I would suggest that you consider this tool. I find it's very helpful. Now, there are others there. The awardsscoop.org is a good site with lots of helpful information and history for you. But the bottom line is, a site like this can help you to work through the process in terms of what you need to do with your spreadsheet. I want to pause for a moment and let you fire questions at us. Does anybody have a question?
Am I on mute?
Nope.
I can hear you. Can you tell us your name first, first name at least?
Hi, this is Kimberly Martinez. One of my challenges would be trying to understand which awards make the most sense to apply for. What criteria do you use, or how do you find the criteria that enables you to really rank them and pick the best award for your products and services?
I think it's a very good question. And is it Kimberly?
It is.
Sorry, was it Kimberly? Okay, Kimberly, what we have done is we've identified what may likely be the top 25 awards, And in our, not this first brief that goes out either tomorrow or Friday, but in the next brief that we'll have our literature review, we list the top 25 award sites that you might want to consider. So I think that in itself may directly answer your question. But beyond that, there are certain award sites that specialize in certain areas. And you can look as you go through these notes, and they have certain information about them. Plus, there are special, really hard to win work awards websites that are listed under, you know, if you look on this site, there's something called the World's Top Awards. And that's a link that I'm looking at right now on the page that we took you to.
I'm actually strategically headed in a slightly different direction. So my strategy would be that the majority of my consumers aren't going to recognize these brand names. They'll recognize an award symbol and stars and kind of a number one. So instead of trying to win some of the most acclaimed, I'm looking to find ones that might be a little easier for us to win initially and begin to just get some seal of, you know, winning this on the site and then kind of move up from there. So I guess I'm trying to figure out the highest probability for a win in a lower tier.
Actually, I was going to suggest that to you. I was going to suggest, and this is what we did, I suggest that in the beginning you submit to some of the second tier sites.
Mm-hmm.
And
are those in your report, Doctor?
Yes. Yes, and also you can look, you know, by process of elimination, you're going to have a list of a website and website awards here, and there's a great deal you can tell just by getting to their sites.
Okay.
But we'll rank these into first and second tier for you.
Great,
so
great.
That you can, you know, draw some considerations or conclusions
great.
From that. Very good question. Somebody, and if you have another, feel free to ask this. Somebody else have a question? All right. Let's talk for a moment then about what you can do to leverage the award beyond the credibility indicator. And that is anyone here using right now a systematic press release strategy?
No.
Okay. I think we can talk about that for just a moment because I think it might be very useful for you, and there's additional information that we can release on that. So I'm going to pull up a set of notes related to what you might do in combination with these awards. And let me just say something to you about the press releases. They themselves are more than just a way to get traffic. They themselves can become a very useful credibility indicator to use in your site because they create news stories about what's happening in your company. And winning an award is an immediate angle that you can utilize. So give me just a moment, and I'm going to pull up a set of notes that I think will help us in that area and go over a few of those key things with you here in just a moment. In the meantime, while I'm doing that, many people in the research logs, you may not be using the research logs effectively as you can. I would suggest that you might consider that there are some key ways to get the most out of those in the simple search mechanism. I don't know if you're using the search mechanism on the site, but the search mechanism, if you type in press releases, for instance, you'll see a good piece of information will come up about any one of these topics that we're talking about. So I'm going to go for just a moment. I'm going to pull up these press release notes, and if you'll give me just a moment to do that, I'll be right with you. Brian, while I'm doing that, by the way, you oversaw this project. What was probably the greatest lesson that you drew from submitting yourself to 101 websites and getting involved in the process yourself?
The greatest lesson is related probably to the question earlier. Our top 25 awards that we've identified that we'll be releasing in a week or two are probably the top tier awards, and that's definitely one thing about those awards that was rather easy to surmise was that they're also the most difficult to win. So on that awards worksheet, when we were selecting the original 50 or 51 awards for these sites, we picked, I think they're ranked 1 through 4 stars or 1 through 5 stars. In addition to picking some of the 4 and 5 star sites, we also picked 2 and 3 star awards and applied for those, of course, thinking that they would be easier to win, which is what proved to be the case. Also, those 4 and 5 star awards are sometimes only offered once a year or once every 6 months, which of course reduces your chances of winning those as well.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk for just in the last few minutes, let's talk about the press release strategy that you can use. And there's three primary benefits. Number one, your cost. It almost costs you nothing to generate a press release, and it has value whether it's picked up on the wire or not. Number two, it increases your credibility. And they appear to come from third-party sources, and you can utilize them on your site to enhance your credibility, and you can reference them and link to them. Number three, it gives you content on your site about your company that comes from a more journalistic perspective, which again is useful in building a relationship of trust. There's 15 keys. I'm not sure that I can get through all of these with you right now, but let's move through them and see what you can. Number one, make sure that you have something to say and that it's the right time to say it. A press release about second-rate widgets that sends readers to a website that is under construction will obviously be ineffective. And it's an angle that's necessary. There has to be a reason. You have to have news. Winning an award obviously gives you that precise angle that you need. And we, in fact, worked with a group that about 18 months ago with an award and a press release strategy that anecdotally increased business over the next 60 days by nearly 100%, leveraging what occurred in that award. We've done that twice now. And in fact, Dealtime, who we worked with, and has had some problems, by the way, but Dealtime, who we worked with, used information from us and a PR group with a press release strategy and got tremendous impact out of it. Number two, identify the problem. Now, this is general press release strategy, apart from the awards that you're solving or the need you're filling with the announcement, and write the announcement to inform the reader. Number three, write a captivating leading paragraph for your press release and answer who, what, where, when, why, and how. Write this paragraph first to form as an outline for the rest of the press release. That initial paragraph should summarize all the information. Number four, utilize what we call the inverted triangle. You have only 3 seconds to grab the reader's attention. At that point, most readers will only make it through 25% of your content. Make sure all the important facts are given first. Think in terms of an upside-down triangle when writing. Number five, use an effective headline. The first 10 words of your press release are the most important and therefore must be the most effective at gaining the reader's full attention. Number six, keep it very simple. Stick to the facts. Write short, concise sentences that avoid non-qualified adjectives. Write simply, explain the concept, and finally show how it is useful. Number seven, make sure you're writing for the intended reader. Be accurate and functional. Use technical language only if you're looking to reach a targeted audience. Use scientific language for a press release targeted at a group of, using scientific language for a press release targeted at a group of high school students is probably going to fall on deaf ears. One important question to ask is how are you going to relate to this? How are they going to relate to this? And how will they be able to connect? Number eight, start with a brief overview of the news and then relay who announced it. Number nine, use promotion to add credibility to your release. Include testimonials from, if you win the award, you'll get a paragraph back. Some of the paragraphs that they send you are stock paragraphs, but it's always glowing language. In addition to that, sometimes they take they actually wrote some very nice things to us, and we use that language specifically in the site, integrate the language from the award into the press release. It brings a lot more credibility. And number 10, provide as much contact information as possible, because you, again, use this press release going out over the wire to drive traffic back to your site. Also, these press releases typically can get picked up very quickly in Google's PageRank system. They're replete with the kinds of information that are attractive to search engines. Consider that when you're developing that. Do not do any selling in the press release. A release which tries to sell or advertise will be tossed. Instead, report about the award and make it more third-party credible. And use the award to get people to your site. Use the press release to get people to your site and sell from there. If you can, use a screenshot or a graphic of the award. Be careful. Some of the awards are not attractive looking. You may consider that even in your criterion when you're considering which one of the 600 that are out there you want to submit. Length should be 250 to 350 words. Use 4 to 5 paragraphs that have only 2 to 3 sentences each. Now, you may have questions about how to send out the press releases, and I can talk to you about that, but I don't want to overwhelm you with too much at once. Do you have any questions about what we've said so far? Is this helpful?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I don't mind at all that you're being quiet. I just want to make sure that I'm serving you well with the information that you need. Is the information that we've given you so far on the awards helpful? Is this what you're looking for? Is this worthwhile investment of everyone's time and energies?
Yes.
Very much so.
This is Steve Weinkoop. I'm kind of curious, when you do the press releases in conjunction with the awards, do you want to group awards onto different press releases, or do you do them an individual press release per award, or is there any kind of strategy?
Individual per award.
Very good
question, Steve.
Okay.
Yeah, the reality is that, you know, it's every award gives you an excuse for a press release, and a half a dozen press releases on your site bring you a lot of credibility. And what's more, things will get picked up. You'll be surprised sometimes where you'll find information or reference to what, depending on how well you write the releases. This press release strategy works not just for the awards, of course, but it's really useful. And, you know, if you group more than one award into a single story, you're probably losing out on an opportunity to send out three. And they don't, as long as it's news, it doesn't matter how many you send out. Make sure it's newsworthy. Any other questions? All right, let me move on. Here's 10 tips for sending out the press releases themselves. Make sure to update your website with the news before sending your press release. If the news isn't important enough to be on your own site, it shouldn't be something why should anyone else want to write or read about it. Not to mention that helps you, but you'd be surprised that people send the press release out before they've added it to their own site. Make sure you have it on your site. Number 2, identify your target audience and submit your release to editors who write for that audience. If you really want, let me tell you what this last section is about. It's about making sure that once you write the release, other people pick it up and use it. I want to point out that if nobody picks up your release and you just have it on your site, it's still valuable. But I would suggest that, obviously, if you want to derive the traffic benefit, then you want to be able to get other people to use this release. And it's good to identify your target audience and submit your release to editors who write for that audience. We did a release, and it was picked up by the Washington Post. And the reason it was picked up by the Washington Post is because the release was prepared. Before it was sent out, it was mentioned in a private note to Leslie, who was the search engine editor there. And then it was sent to her attention, then followed up by a phone call, and then she called back with a few questions, and that's how it turned into a story in the Post. That's the kind of attention that it takes if you really want to see, you know, that kind of publicity. Number 3, identify the marketing channels available for your audience. What is the best channel to reach your audience? Is it by email? Is it by post or is it by fax? Not everyone wants to press by email. However, in the beginning, you may use email only, depending on how important the release is. 4, don't include attachments with email press releases. If it will not fit into the body of the press release, it doesn't need to be included. You might mention when you do like an email cover, if you have a personal relationship with someone, that you have something else available if they'd like it. But typically keep it so simple and easy for them. And an attachment can be flagged and keep it clean read at all. 5, do you standardize electronic formats for sending the press release? You know, be careful about sending it in the format they can't read easily. Think like a journalist. Number 6, what news are they interested in? How do they normally find a story to write about? Number 7, determine the best way to submit your press release to the editor. Not all editors want to receive press releases by email. Contact them in the way that's best for them, not for you. Number 8, do not follow up to see if the editor received your press release. You will annoy most editors by making a second contact. Now, there's an exception to that rule. If you have any relationship or any special reason, you can stretch that. But don't spam me with 3 more emails saying, did you get the press release that I sent? I got a piece of spam in my box this morning that was probably one of the most subtle I've ever seen. It said, just checking to see if you got the information I forwarded to you last week, and it had a nice little note, and then underneath it, it had another email that was forwarded. And the design of it made you assume immediately that wasn't spam. But I didn't recognize the person, and I went down and checked in the source code, and I saw where it was a form, and he was just plugging in my name and sending it to me. It had my first name in it. And so now, you know, he's going to repeatedly spam me next several days on this issue. Obviously, he will not get the attention from me. Number 10, number 9, send your press release at the best time for the editor. Sometimes you can't do that, but consider their deadlines if you get to know them, which is the best thing. Stephen, in your case, I think you probably know some of the media. Even minor media and other websites that you may have relationships with, very useful to consider how to create some of the information that you've got into a press release format and release it, find out what they want, develop a database of these people and serve them well. Number 10, get the editor's permission first and be very careful about sending unsolicited press releases to busy media people who don't want to receive them in that format. And we talked about format a little bit, but this point applies primarily to the major media outlets, you know, the New York Times, Washington Post. There are some services on the internet that will help you. I have a list right now of about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We'll post this list of resources. If you get serious about press releases, get a PR firm to help you. If not, you can do some automatic electronic submissions. Don't expect nearly the same results. And then, of course, the third option is you do the best that you can, but you still have the ways that you have to utilize strategically on your site. Any questions about that? All right. Anyone else? Good. Then what I would suggest you do is we will be releasing in 2 days this report. We'll follow up with the literature review, and we will send everyone only right now. I'm not going to release the press release information, but we will send that press release information that worked off of right now out to those of you that participated in the conference over the next couple of days so that you can get all of those specific notes and utilize those in planning your strategy. Would that be helpful?
Yes, very.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Our upcoming topics that we're working on right now, just to point out for you, because I'm interested in which ones you find most helpful. Apart from our major research, there are briefs that we're preparing based on some letters and things that we've been sharing with you over the last month. And we have two on awards, which we've just talked about, including the literature review. We have one on email capture, and it's designed to teach you how to capture email addresses, and it's more than that. It's actual scripts that we're utilizing in a way that Google does not disallow you, an email rollover pop-up script, and along with that, an exit pop-up that actually works, that's actually polite, that actually only shows up once and then doesn't come back for a given period of time, how we use it, how we implement it. Would you find that kind of information helpful?
Definitely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the what about the ship? How many of you are, I don't know whose retailers and whose publishers who have service, but typically our list is about a third retailers, a third consultants, and a third publishers, and about 78% of the publishers, I'm sorry, of the retailers are publishers in some sense, and 78% of the publishers, 78% have something they're retailing, so there's great overlap. But we're looking also at the free shipping, and we've really had some insights from studying the trends. And Dave, I've talked to you about that, and I've got more. I've got some things I want to send to you directly, and some things I want to test with you based on research I reviewed today. But would you find the information on how to handle shipping helpful for you also?
Absolutely.
Actually, I would. This is Susan Brink. I would really find that useful right now.
This is Christian Alt. We have been using free shipping here at Lane, but I'd love to see your results as well.
Well, Chris is one of our research partners also, and Chris is really a very effective guy. If I brag on him for a minute, he's really a physicist who got involved in eBay and turned it into a very successful business. And he's very smart about how he's done shipping. And so, Chris, we'll talk. He's one of the research partners that we've been experimenting and learning some things with. So we've got information, Chris, that you don't have from, but you've also been a contributor in this process through our research. So good to have you on the phone also. And I may even have you comment when we do if we do a web conference subject.
Okay.
Within reason. Everybody who happens to be in Chris's business at that point will have to hit the mute button. They'll not be allowed to hear him. But I don't think there's anybody else, so we'll deal with that then. All right, I want to thank you for attending, and we will be releasing this information along with the recording later. In the meantime, we'll keep research.
Thank you.
Okay?
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.